Critic John Leonard has a review of a new book about the Cambodian archaeological site of Angkor that he says captures much more than eroding stone.
I don't ordinarily buy into any of the coffee table books for Christmas racket, but Angkor, The Hidden Glories, at 260 outsized pages for $45, is a gorgeous bargain. A stunning portfolio of color photographs by Michael Freeman, with an elegant and scrupulous text by Roger Warner, part reportage and part historical monograph. It adds up, between covers, to an act of the romantic imagination. Something about Angkor inspires excess, melancholy introspection, savage ideologizing, and literary vapors. We are talking about 60 square miles of collapsing temples in the Cambodian jungle, about a Khmer culture that flourished in Southeast Asia from the 9th to the 15th centuries and left us golden lions and golden Buddhas, corncob towers and sea serpent cults, pyramids and cat's eyes, a sandstone cosmology, and a vision of 32 hells. So grand and mesmerizing are these bare ruined choirs of a bygone civilization, full of bats, attacked by banyan trees, that European visitors assume they're left over from ancient Romans, or ancient Hebrews, or Alexander the Great. But they were made in Cambodia, by Cambodians, in the same command economy of slaves that created the irrigation system that produced the surplus that raised a Khmer army to terrorize its neighbors. We see through culture-bound eyes. The young novelist André Malraux went to Angkor Wat in 1923 to steal some stone ornamental dancing girls. Imagine a young Cambodian poet stealing some stones from the Parthenon. More than four decades after Malraux, Jan Myrdal, the Marxist son of the Swedish sociologist Gunnar Myrdal, found in the same tombs evidence of the impending collapse of corporate capitalism. It still hasn't happened. 20 years after Myrdal, journalist Warner and photographer Freeman can't approach the colossal head of Brahma without an escort of Vietnamese soldiers with automatic rifles. And they're surprised to find that, contrary to rumor, a bloodthirsty Khmer Rouge had let the temple stand after overrunning them, maybe because they identified with the brutal kings of the ancient culture. History never reads us the lesson we want to learn. It insists on mystifying, like those dancing girls, whom the poet Claudel accused of dancing a kind of sinister can-can over the ruins. According to Warner, the cities, most of them bigger than Rome at the time of Nero, and the palaces, built to celebrate successive god kings, vanished because they were made out of wood. But the temples, intended to recapitulate architecturally a Hindu model of the universe, with six rings of mountains, seven oceans, a rainbow bridge, a balustrade of Naga serpents, and a five-peaked god summit, are still to be seen today in golden decay, after a lot of hassle, and for how much longer nobody knows, as jungle vegetation swarms to devour them. And see them we do through Freeman's lens, in shadow and dazzle, at sunset, and in some other light, an apprehension like Ozymandias. It is difficult, wrote Osbert Sitwell of Angkor Wat, for someone who has not seen it to picture so wild and ramshackle a confusion of animate and inanimate, of rampant green life at war with immobile gray death, golden death. Indeed, the stone itself acquires a kind of life from the struggle, for it is caught between two fires. That's what these photographs look like, and so was my imagination caught, between fires, in a habitat of departed lions and gods.
John Leonard is media critic for CBS Sunday Morning. He reviewed Angkor, The Hidden Glories, by Michael Freeman and Roger Warner.